Thanks, Jenner. As mentioned, my name is Shireen, and today's Bible reading is from the NIV version of Mark chapter 5, verses 21-43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the reading, Uncle Jim.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today we continue our series On the Road with Jesus, and see how he spent one particularly busy day. Mark chapter 5 tells about three healing miracles of Jesus: the demon-possessed man, Jairus' daughter, and the sick woman. Sometimes when we come to the story of miracles of Jesus, because we've read it so often, it doesn't impress us anymore. You know, we get complacent and we don't think too much of it. We think, well, of course, Jesus is the Son of God. He can do anything he wants. No big deal. What is it? Familiarity breeds complacency. But this morning, let us look at the miracles afresh. How about you forget that you live in the 21st century Sydney? Come with me back to the first century Galilee and ask and see Jesus perform his actions right in front of us. So come, let us pray and ask God to help us to see Jesus in action right in front of us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. We praise you for sending your Son Jesus on earth to show us what you are like. As we look at one particular day in Jesus' life this morning, Please help us to imagine what it would be like being in His presence. Help us by your Holy Spirit to have a renewed awe and wonder at your majesty, your power, and your love. Please take away any distractions and just be in your presence. Please help me to speak clearly and faithfully from your word for your glory only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 5 starts off with Jesus and the disciples crossing the Lake of Galilee to Gerasenes on the east side. Now, on this map, you can't see that place listed, but it's on the east side. Then in verse 21, it says, they again crossed over. So presumably, they went back to Capernaum, Jesus' hometown. And this is where we are waiting, among a large crowd, for him to come off the boat. We look over this big lake. Can you see the boat? As usual, we are among a large crowd, because this is Jesus' territory. And he is well known here. We have all wondered, all heard the wonderful reports, and some of us have seen his miracles. And so today we are eagerly anticipating what he will do today. We are so interested in this Jesus show that we have taken the day off work. You know, we are like the young people later on in the 21st century who follow all the movie celebrities. But of course, there are no movies yet in the first century today. And then we see Jairus running up to Jesus. We know Jairus. Verse 22 says he is a ruler at the synagogue in Capernaum. So he is a layman employed by the synagogue to look after the property, to run the worship services, to get the scrolls ready for the rabbi to read, and also the administration, etc. So Jairus is like a cross between a deacon and the church administrator in the 21st century. And then we see, surprisingly, Jairus comes and falls at Jesus' feet. Verse 22, that's gross. For a Jew to fall on another human being's feet is ungodly. You only fall down on your knees before Yahweh, God, not on human beings. Who does Jairus think this guy is? But anyway, the fact that he fell down on the knees indicates two things, okay? Jairus must have a real serious problem. And the second thing is, he must hold Jesus in a very high esteem. So we listened to him and he said, his 12-year-old daughter is very sick and is about to die. Oh, I see, this is serious. Something is obviously very serious. And we all know that lovely young girl. And we're still confused also, why did Jesus not stop him falling on his knees, but accept the homage? Who does Jesus think he is? Anyway, it's important to help heal the sick young girl. So verse 24 says simply, Jesus went with him. Isn't that wonderful of Jesus? He was not concerned about what his plans are for today. He just went to go and help Jairus out. He obviously realizes this is an urgent matter. You know, let's not waste any time. And let us all hurry as well. Let's see what's going to happen. This is getting exciting this day. And then you wonder, does Jairus really have faith that Jesus can heal a little sick girl? Do you need faith to have your sick daughter healed? And if you do need faith, how much faith is needed for your daughter to be healed? Well, Jairus must have heard that Jesus said he came to start a new era. The new kingdom of God is here. So Jesus came to show what the world should be like in a perfect paradise, a place where there's no tears, no sickness, no death. So we conclude that yes, Jairus has enough faith that Jesus can heal a sick daughter. As we walk and follow Jesus and the crowd, we notice more and more people are coming, and there are more and more people crowding around Jesus. Now, it's getting a bit awkward to walk amongst this big crowd on these narrow streets with an uneven footpath. So watch your step, won't you? And suddenly Jesus stopped walking. And of course, we all stopped too. What's the problem? What's happening? And then we see Jesus turn around and ask the question, who touched my clothes? Verse 30. And you think to yourself, Jesus, that is such a stupid question. But of course you don't say it aloud. You only think it in your heart, you know. But then you hear one of the disciples say almost exactly what you said. Verse 31. You see the people crowding against you, and yet you can ask, who touched me? Ha! The disciples think exactly like you. And you sense that the disciples are getting also a little bit frustrated by this delay. Doesn't Jesus remember that we are in a hurry to heal Jairus' critical sick daughter? Every minute counts. Come on, let's not stop and waste time. But no, Jesus just stands there. He doesn't want to move. He looks around the crowd, looking for someone who touched his clothes. You wonder, what does Jesus really mean, touched my clothes? Did he feel some sort of power went out of him? While you're still trying to understand the situation, look, a woman also came up, and guess what? She falls on Jesus' feet as well. Now, this is two people in the same morning falling down to the same human being. But, you know, our religion says you can only fall down on your knees in front of Yahweh, in front of God. Who do these two people think that Jesus is? And again, Jesus just accepted their homage. You're getting more confused. But anyway, stop thinking. And just listen, because the woman is starting to speak, okay? First, who is she? You look at her, you don't really know her, you haven't seen her before. But she is telling her story. First, she gives her background, verse 25 to 29. She had been sick for 12 years with bleeding. This means that she is ceremonially unclean and has to stay away from other people. Otherwise, they make them unclean if they come in contact with her. You know, social distancing, like the coronavirus 20 centuries later. But then, you no wonder you think, I haven't met this woman before because she doesn't mix with other people. But then you think, so what are you doing in this crowd, you silly woman? Look at how many people you have made unclean. They are unclean until sunset according to our laws. Why don't you go to a doctor if you are sick? Oh yes, in fact she did. Verse 26 says, she went to many doctors and spent all that she had, and she still didn't get any better. In fact, her suffering grew even worse. Stupid doctors. She should have come to one of the many doctors at CCC. So, now you start hearing her 12 years of suffering, you start having pity on her. Yes, she spent all that she had, and she became worse. For 12 years, she was an outcast. She can't go to the synagogue, can't have social interactions with others. People who know her avoided her, and so she has fewer and fewer social contacts. No wonder you haven't seen her before. And then she heard about Jesus. What exactly she heard about Jesus, she didn't say. But whatever she heard about Jesus, she immediately acted upon it. She believed that if she could only touch Jesus' clothes, she would be healed. She believes Jesus doesn't even have to touch her, or speak to her, or even see her. She knows for sure that if she just touches his cloak, she would be healed. She is absolutely convinced of that. What an amazing faith she has, don't you think? And see, it did happen. She touched his cloak and she was instantly healed. Absolutely amazing. But now she's afraid that she's done something wrong. Do you remember when you were in primary school and you did something wrong in class and the teacher asked, "Who did that? Own up." And everyone in the class was silent and you became afraid because you know it was you who did that. You remember that? No, oh, you guys must be good guys, not naughty kids like me. Anyway, I know that feeling. The woman is afraid that Jesus would get angry with her. Angry because she didn't ask permission first, didn't even speak to him or introduce herself. She feels like she has taken something that doesn't belong to her. Plus, she is also afraid of the crowd, that they would get angry with her for mingling with them while she was ceremoniously unclean. Poor woman. Now you feel really sorry for her. But you're excited that she's been healed. You have seen another miracle. It's already worth taking the day off from work, isn't it? And what else might happen today? Now, we're all watching Jesus. How will he react? What will he say? It's suddenly very quiet. And then Jesus speaks in verse 34. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Wow, you feel so happy for her. Jesus is not angry, and in fact, he gave her a compliment. "Your faith has healed you." Yes, you agree. She must have remarkable faith. She didn't expect Jesus to touch her, to see her, to speak with her. She believed that even being totally anonymous, that Jesus can heal her, and he did. And then getting that extra blessing from Jesus, "Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This means that she doesn't have to worry anymore, okay? No more stupid doctors. She's completely healed. She can resume a normal life and is no longer an outcast. Look at her face now. She is beaming and smiling. She's about to burst out of her skin. And although you don't know her, you just feel like you're giving a hug. And now she is ceremoniously clean, you can give her a hug. While you're still happy and smiling, there's another commotion over there. Oh no. Some people came from Jairus' house with the terrible news. Jairus' daughter has died. Verse 35 said they told Jairus not to bother the teacher anymore. What's the point? It's too late. You look at the faces of the people and see the reaction. First, the disciples. You see their sadness, but you also see the frustration in their face. You can just hear their thoughts. "That silly woman. She has already suffered for 12 years. Couldn't she wait a bit longer? And why did Jesus stop to talk to her? Once she is healed, just let her go. There's no point in chatting anymore, listening to her life story and wasting more time. Just go. Don't you remember that we have a critically sick person?" And now that person is dead. But also, look at Jairus' face. The poor Jairus. His face is white. He is in shock. He must be absolutely devastated and maybe angry at the woman also for delaying Jesus. Now what? Shall I tell Jesus not to bother anymore? Jesus also looked at Jairus' face. And he said, verse 36, don't be afraid, just believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus can bring my daughter back to life? That Jesus can really do that? All these thoughts are swirling in Jairus' mind. He's not sure what to think anymore. Yes, Jairus does have faith, and that's why he came to Jesus in the first place. Jairus has enough faith to believe that Jesus can heal a sick daughter. But once she is dead, it's a different ballgame. Does he have that next level of faith that Jesus asked of him? Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. Now that's the challenge for Jairus. Anyway, we all arrive at Jairus' house. And verse 38 says, there was a great commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. You remember in our first century here, we hire professional mourners at funerals. The reason is that funerals are held on the same day before sunset in our law. So in verse 40, you can see that this mourning, etc., is quite insincere, because it turns to laughter when Jesus said the daughter is sleeping, is not dead. Then Jesus takes Jairus, his wife, Peter, James, and John into the dead girl's room. We have to wait outside with all the others. Apparently, in the room, Jesus takes the child by the hand, speaks to her, and she comes back to life. Yes, the little girl came back from life. What amazing. What a pity we couldn't see that miracle. Two miracles in the same day. We hear suddenly this loud screams of joy and laughter from the room. Isn't that amazing? Jesus not only has the power over life and death, but he also cares deeply for people. We have had an awesome day. It was well worth taking the day off. This is something we can tell our grandchildren one day. Let's come back to Sydney now and look at the story again. Looking at the two main characters, the sick woman and Jairus, we see similarities in that they both have a big problem they could not solve, and they both had faith in Jesus. But apart from these two similarities, they are poles apart. First, Jairus. He was a man, a ruler at the synagogue. He had a name. He had a position. The men who came from his house were probably his servants, so he was rich. He definitely was a respectable person in society. In contrast, women in those days didn't count. Men were considered much more important. This woman didn't even have a name. She was poor because all her money went to the doctors. She was a nobody. Furthermore, because she was considered unclean, a social outcast, she was less than a nobody. But she did have faith, strong faith. She believed that Jesus could heal her without even touching her, without speaking to her, without even seeing her. Jairus also had faith in Jesus, but his faith was limited. In verse 23, he wanted Jesus to come, put his hand on his daughter, touch her, and then he believed she would be healed. But after she died, he was afraid because he had come to the limit of faith. When Jesus told him not to be afraid but believe, the woman's example and her faith was an encouragement to him. He saw what happened to her and heard the wonderful story, and that lifted his own faith. So that increased faith was rewarded by seeing his beloved daughter come back to life. What are the applications for us today? The first application is to compare ourselves with the people in this passage. Actually, this is a good application to do anytime you read the Bible. Just compare ourselves with the people mentioned in the passage. So in this story, let's compare ourselves first with the crowd. They were there just for the ride. They just liked interesting stories and seeing miracles, but they had no desire to understand more, no desire for a relationship with Jesus. Last week, we called them outsiders. Are we like the crowd with only a superficial interest in Jesus? Or do we really want to feel his presence more every day, to talk more to him and rejoice in our status of being God's children? Then there were Jairus' servants who called Jesus teacher. That's all they think of Jesus. They probably go to the synagogue just to please their boss Jairus. So do we go to church to please someone else? Our parents, our spouses, our boyfriend, girlfriend? Or do we go to church with a real desire to draw closer to Jesus? Then, of course, we have Jairus. He did have faith in Jesus, but not enough faith. Fortunately, he was willing to step out and trust Jesus more. The woman's faith inspired him. To grow in our spiritual life, we need to be willing to step out in faith and trust Jesus more. Are we prepared to fully trust in God? And finally, we have the woman. She is a nobody, but she had great faith. We are told in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came. We don't know what she heard, but she immediately acted on what she did hear. Doesn't this remind us of the lesson last week, where Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Our relationship with Jesus grows if we act on what we already know about him. And may we continue to keep acting in faith. The second application for us is, sometimes we are afraid to tell others what Jesus has done for us, just like the woman. We are afraid because we don't have the status or position, or we are the wrong gender, or we are too young or too old, or for whatever reasons we feel we don't have the position. We are a nobody. But the lesson from this passage is that we should not be afraid to tell others what Jesus has done for us. Now, it doesn't have to be a major, spectacular, supernatural thing like in this story. We can simply share with others how we became a Christian, share with others an answer to prayer last week or something interesting you read recently in the Bible. Let us be more willing to share how good God is to us. And who knows, maybe there's someone who will be greatly encouraged and their faith strengthened, just like Jairus. Amen. Homework for next week. One, how can we draw closer to Jesus? Second, share with others something that Jesus has done for us. And also read carefully Mark chapter 6, verses 6b to 30. Have a blessed week.